Welcome to the For Those Who Inquired podcast. I clear my throat here because I'm finally graced with presence, the great presence of Neil Bradley.
What?
Once again. The great presence, yeah. Neil, you just got back. Were you a drug lord in Cancun for a week or two?
I realize my passport photo does look like that, but Turns out about everybody's does. So, but no, my wife and I are getting ready to celebrate our 20th anniversary in May. So we went on a vacation to Cancun. For the most part, it's the first time I've been out of the country to speak. I mean, I've been to Puerto Rico when we were in El Paso one time, went across the border one night at a restaurant as part of a team trip. But went to Cancun, had a great time, lots of sunshine.
Neil's got a tan right now.
Got a little bit of a tan going.
Unreal.
On the arms, but yeah, it was a blast. It was Dreams Riviera Cancun, absolutely beautiful place. And usually if you're somewhere for a week, you're going to run into some turd, and we didn't run into anybody. This is the nicest staff ever. I mean, they were just so friendly, so nice. They were just amazing. I couldn't believe it.
Did you run into the classic conundrum for Western Kentuckians is no matter where you go in the world, you run into somebody from Western Kentucky? Did that happen?
I did not. However,
because that happens every time.
You'd think. But it did not at our resort. However, I posted something on Instagram, and I noticed another former voice of the Racers, Randy Herndon, was also in Cancun, just at a different resort. But the River Maya or whatever. So it was somewhere within a few miles of where we were.
It would have been incredible if the two of you, I mean, obviously you're on vacation, you don't have to do this, but it would have been hilarious if the two of you guys had just sat down and said, you know what, we're going to call something. Just right here, just three Mai Tais deep or Miami Vices or Hurricanes or whatever the drink of choice is down there, and you're just calling something for the hell of it.
The trip was great, had no issues about it. We probably ended up staying 7 days, probably realistically five would have been enough. So if we had a chance to do that again, it'd probably keep it at five. Didn't start out well. We had a 10:55 scheduled flight on a Saturday from Nashville to Cancun via JetBlue, and it was delayed 4 hours, so that didn't go well. And then on the way back, they announced. The plane's really nice. You get on there, and it said on the little app, "Hey, we got free internet, got free movies, got everything." And then they announced, "Hey, none of that's working today." So. We do have it, but none of it works. Well, God, Bob's crop dusting could tell you, oh, we got free movies and internet and just don't have it. And then on the way back, 30-minute delay. But as it turns out, 18% of the JetBlue flights were canceled Saturday, so we were one that wasn't. I guess we ought to be happy with that.
I saw that.
And there was no internet on that flight either.
Insane.
And then the movies wouldn't work on that one.
Yeah, I mean, you're a movie guy. I mean, that's one of the things, like, in your downtime, you want to be watching movies.
I do, but I watch my own. I wouldn't have watched probably anything that they had there. I'm a big podcast guy, so I listen to a bunch of podcast stuff on the airplane.
I know, right? It would have been amazing if you'd just been like, I'm just going to fire up one of our old episodes for no apparent reason whatsoever. Thanks to our five or six listeners, we commend you. And hello again, Dave Winder. But we digress. The number one thing, the funny thing is, no matter how much time we take off or what vacations we take, I've got a vacation coming up in 3 or 4 weeks. Something big's going to happen. Oh, it did. While you were gone in the 8 days, it feels like the world has completely changed for Murray State Athletics.
Yes.
Now, to be fair, Neil, Steve Prohm was announced before, and you got to go to the press conference. You did. I was at work watching it. I was watching it from work live. You got to, obviously, Steve. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in a minute. But that happens, and you're like, okay, I'm going on vacation. They announced the coach. I've been this. While you were gone, I'm just going to fill you in quickly. Steve let the entire team hit the portal. A lot of those guys made decisions to go other places. The Racers currently have 10 open scholarships. DJ Burns has withdrawn from the portal. Two freshmen have decided so far to keep their commitments in Justin Morgan and so far Braxton Stacker. Jackson Edwards out of Indianapolis has visited Butler, Looks like Thad Matta and his staff are interested in the 6'6 wing. We had already talked a little bit about the possibility of Cornelius Williams joining the staff down in LSU. So Matt McMahon and the former staff here are now down there. Juice Williams left LSU. Juice Hill and Trey Hannibal have joined LSU. Daquan Smith is headed to Radford. Jackson Sivils is headed to Wofford. Murray State football is now officially in the Missouri Valley Football Conference, and all hell's broken loose.
Yeah.
Neil, and I just gave you just the quickest rundown possible. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, if you really think about the last 10 days of athletics at Murray State University, it's just chaos. Does Kevin Saul sleep? Does Dave Winder sleep? Does anybody get sleep? Does Parker Griffith get sleep? Anybody getting sleep right now at Murray State University?
Well, probably not with all that, and they have other sports that are going on at the mm-hmm. moment as well.
Mm-hmm. Baseball, softball, yeah. Track, golf.
So, but besides having to write those releases and then the football announcement to go with it. But the thing is, like on the people leaving, you don't have to write a release on that.
You know.
But it was bad news. You think of the high where this team was. You beat San Francisco. It was one of the great games of the tournament.
One of the greatest games, yeah.
You run up against Cinderella, who was taking down teams right and left. And St. Peter's defeated the Racers.
Defeated Purdue.
And then you had an idea that probably, Matt would be gone. I didn't have any doubt that if he got a really great offer, he'd go, and he did. I don't blame him. My gosh. And just as he said, to be with an iconic brand as LSU, for one thing, gosh, he gets to go see the football games. That's what I'm jealous of, besides the basketball part of it. But so he gets to do that. Brings most of the staff. That's not uncommon. Initially, I thought probably one of those guys would be the front runner maybe for the Murray State job.
Sure.
Either Tim or Casey. But that did not happen. Steve Prohm was the guy. Steve's familiar with the program. Think it's a tremendous hire. Don't have any issues with it in any way whatsoever. Has had tremendous success here. But Steve ran into something I don't think he expected, and that's to be without virtually all of his roster. The transfer portal is what it is. It's a tool given to players, and it's a good one. Even though there are some shortcomings, I think fans we're not used to seeing this side of it. Last year, it got the other side of it when we were bringing players in, and it worked out really well.
Absolutely.
But not used to seeing this side of it when players can go. But something that fans may not know, your scholarships year to year, this gives players a little bit more. And also, if they're unhappy in their situation, if you go to Murray State, or let's say you go to Western Kentucky and major in physics, and you get there, and you're like, I don't really like it here. I want to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You can do that. Mm-hmm. And a basketball player, a football player, or a women's basketball player, a track and field star, golf, they should be able to do the same thing. So I don't have any problem with that. More power to the players, and I don't have any issue with that at all. So good for them. But the Racers, they were losing player after player after player after player, and pretty much the whole roster is gone. That happens a lot. Just take a look. It happened even to LSU.
It did.
When there's major coaching changes, you usually get a lot of turnover, or if you have a really bad year, you have a lot of turnover.
Well, and at every level, not just your seniors or your juniors that are like, I'm out of time.
Yeah, I want to get out of here.
You're a freshman and your sophomore. It's like the rats on the ship. They're like, oh, we know the boat's sinking. We got to go.
Get out. A little better program, a little bit better situation for myself. So that part wasn't unexpected. The unexpected part, and let me say this first, Matt, think of his career at Murray State through the assistants years and head coaching years. Some of the best basketball moments in the history of the program, including one of the iconic recruits in the history of the program, perhaps the most iconic in John Morant. That's part of Matt McMahon's era. You take a look at his body of work at Murray State, and it is amazing. He is a future Hall of Famer. There is no doubt about that. He's had as much success as any coach in terms of winning percentage, in terms of winning championships, in terms of NCAA tournament wins, and then the John Morant factor in there. So just an absolutely amazing job done by Matt. as an assistant as well as a head coach. So we certainly wish him the best. Now, the thing on the other side of that that generally doesn't happen is you don't have head coaches take jobs and then pull players with them when they've taken a better job.
Right.
So that's going to tarnish Matt's image somewhat. A lot of fans are mad about that. I'm not happy with it either. Not the fact that Juice left or Trey Hannibal left. Fine with them, but generally a coach will say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. You know, you can go, there's over 350 other schools, but you can't come here. I'm just not going to be able to, not going to do that. But it's happened. It is something that the Racers are going to have to deal with, and they'll have to make the best out of the situation. And I think they'll do that. The good news is, back when Billy Kennedy took the job with Steve Prohm as an assistant, his roster wasn't 100% gutted, but it was gutted. A lot of guys took off, the recruits. That generally happens. So I don't have any issue with a coach for players who have never played for your school. If they want to go with the other coach, I honestly don't have a real issue with that at all.
Yeah.
So no problem with that. And Mick Cronin's recruits, I don't know that any of them decided to come. I think they all bolted. So Kennedy was left with what he had. Birmingham Southern dropped their program from Division One, and the Racers were able to get Ed Horton and Dwayne Paul. That helped them salvage a winning season. And to me, that was one of the most masterful coaching jobs ever in the Murray State basketball history.
Yeah.
But Billy didn't have this tool, and that is the transfer portal. So it's working against us, and we're like, it's going to work for us because the Racers are going to stock their roster with some tremendous players, and by the time October rolls around, this is going to be a good team in terms of talent. Will it be good in terms of chemistry? Not a clue.
Not a clue, no. Not
at all. Don't know. They could be a disaster. They could also be really, really good.
Oh, absolutely.
So, but I don't know what we're going to have, but there will be a lot of good players. Steve, I think, is putting together a tremendous staff. He has good contacts. So the talent will be there to have a good season going into the Missouri Valley Conference with an all-new roster. That's going to be a difficult task. I think that goes without saying.
I want to offer a counterpoint, and I think you make a point. I mean, you make a point that a lot of I don't agree with it, and I don't. You and I have talked about that a lot, and I totally understand it. You do have this situation where over a 48-hour period, and I think maybe I was a little obtuse to it. That's my fault. I'm a young guy. I make mistakes all the time. And something that maybe I didn't take into consideration is that, you know, often as a reporter, now not even as a full-time paid reporter for Murray State Athletics, just someone who continues to take interest in it, it's obtuse of me to think that fans wouldn't be upset about this situation for whatever reason. Not necessarily mad at people, just mad at, oh my gosh, we were this close to a Sweet 16, and now we're headed to the Missouri Valley trying to rebuild. Nobody is more in tune with that than Steve Prohm, and I think it's part of the reason why he was interested in the job. In my opinion, I thought 2 months ago, like everybody else did, I didn't necessarily think Steve was interested in coming back for the very reasons that you and I have even illuminated to. You already had your previous legacy. You just got finished coaching in the Big 12. You definitely probably were looking at some other, I don't even want to call them higher caliber jobs because I don't think that's fair. Murray State men's basketball is a premier coaching job in the country for its own reasons. But you obviously, when you start thinking about Power 5, Power 6, the opportunity to go coach in bigger cities and things like that, those are things that draw coaches after they've already been at Murray. The only thing that I do want to bring to attention before I go into, I guess I'll say it, just maybe defending Matt, is that this is a different job now. We are now, there is the pre and that which was the OVC, and now the post, which is not the OVC anymore. It's the Missouri Valley. And so now all of a sudden, it is absolutely fair to say that any coach that takes this job moving forward will be coaching not only against Missouri Valley talent and Missouri Valley coaching, but could perennially be fighting for a multi-bid league. Now, I don't know if that happens this next year, but the potential for the multi-bid league is higher in the Missouri Valley over history than it is for the Ohio Valley Conference.
No question.
I know recent memories, people are just like, well, it's just Loyola or a bust. I get that. The history of the Missouri Valley is a multi-bid league, period. Even if it's just two, that's more than one. I say these things My defense of Matt McMahon is that I just don't think there's malicious intent. We live in a situation now where player empowerment is as high as it's ever been. And I guess my argument is, if Juice Hill and Trey Hannibal called me up, and let's say I'm the coach of LSU, and said, "Hey, man, we had a great time in Murray. I don't want to go anywhere else." I just don't know, as a player's coach, if I would have, how hard of a time I would have saying I can't do that. From an, not necessarily even from an honor standpoint, but just from an emotional standpoint. These are guys that you've gone to war with, and you don't want to hear them say, "Well, I'm just not going to be happy anywhere else." So again, from a timeline perspective, I'm just not, I just don't know if there was, I find it hard to believe that there would be scalping or, you know, poaching or whatever. None of that's even illegal. Maybe it's just an unspoken ethical rule.
Well, no one does it.
That it doesn't happen. or if it does happen in the past, you had to sit the year.
Yeah.
Where players, if they did follow their coach, for instance, this past week, Frank Martin had two of his players follow him to UMass. Now, granted, he was fired at South Carolina.
That's a different deal.
It is, and I get that.
His school didn't provide him with the riches and then.
Sure.
Hey.
Yeah, and I get that. I think there is that point where you said, "Hey, if you're going to be at LSU, or let's just say any Power 5 school, you've got all this opportunity to go get these other guys. Why did you have to get ours?" And I think at that point, look, I'll just say it this way. I don't necessarily know if Juice Hill and Trey Hannibal would have been happy in this locker room.
And they may not have been.
And from a chemistry standpoint, and I think this is where Steve probably did everybody a favor, if you have, we've seen it firsthand, Neil. And again, I'm an apologist here, and I don't mind.
What favor did Steve do?
You tell guys, hit the portal.
I don't think he told him that.
So let me say this, though.
I don't think he told him that. If they said they were going to, I don't think he demanded they didn't. I don't think he told him that.
But would you, I guess from a chemistry standpoint, would you want 10 guys that just didn't want to be there?
No. The problem isn't them going to the portal. The problem is them going to LSU.
I got you.
There's 350 other schools they can go to. And that's on the coach. If he thinks it's okay to do that, then he does it. So
I got you.
That's what that is. I don't have any problem with them exploring other options. I think they're terrific players and good enough to play in a ton of schools.
Well, you look at the offers.
LSU, I think, will be one of them.
Yeah, you look at the offers that Juice had immediately. Yeah. And
so I wish them the best there. I hope they do well. They're good kids. They worked hard. And I mean, you talk about a transformational year for Juice Hill to be, we didn't realize what he was battling with, health issues with his COVID last year.
Yeah.
Kind of sapped his energy a little bit. But oh my gosh. And then Trey Hannibal, the energy he brings. I don't know if it'll be off the bench there or if it'll be starting. I'm not really sure. But he just brings so much energy. And they're just joys to watch. And whatever uniform they ever suit up in, fans are going to absolutely love watching them play.
No, I agree. The other thing that I will say, too, I think it's worth mentioning, KJ will very likely explore multiple opportunities. I think the NBA scouting combine is going to give him a ton of feedback. We know that Tevin has signed with an agent. I think that's worth bringing up.
Sure.
Tevin has, a child on the way. And, I'm really excited about his opportunity. He signed with Tandem, which should be no surprise. I believe that not only is that Jaws agency, but that's Darnell Court's agency. I believe it's Shaq's agency as well. So it certainly is going to continue to run in that family, And I think that's great for Tevin. It's looking like he's going to explore professional opportunities. If KJ gets bad news, I really wouldn't be surprised. And I say bad news, news of, hey, why don't you take another year to think about it? I got a feeling he probably ends up in Baton Rouge.
And he could.
I think it's extremely likely that he ends up at LSU. He may not. He needs to go wherever that opportunity unfolds. And if it's Murray State, maybe it is. I mean, that certainly isn't officially off the table. So who knows? We say these things, and Jani Broom from Moorhead, now has a ridiculous, you know, list of suitors. You know, KJ Williams could take that same approach. You know, with the UKs, the Auburns, the Gonzagas, the Floridas, Duke is on Jani Broom's list. I mean, the list goes on and on. So it's you know, University of Houston. These are all teams that were in the, you know, Elite Eight, except for, you know, Kentucky. So it's going to be really interesting to see how a lot of that shakes up. We say all these things, and Neil, I want to get your thoughts. One of the things, always want to get your thoughts. One of the things that's really crazy about this is also while you were gone, it looks like we haven't got an official release from Murray State University, but the staff has been announced by Stadium, right. You know, by Mr. Goodman himself. You have, I've got the list here. Just want to make sure I get this right. You have Jonathan Maddox from Morehead State University. You have Cole Christian, who was previously the Dobo at Akron, and then you have an ECU assistant in Antoine Jackson. All three of them, I don't want to go into their dossiers, but all three of them have tight connections either to Kentucky or to Prohm or to former other, like, nuggets, so to speak, that tie them back to Steve Prohm. Cole was at UT Martin as one of his first jobs, an Iowa State grad. He was with Steve at Iowa State. Jonathan Maddox certainly has had a great deal of success as a premier up-and-coming assistant underneath Preston Spradlin at Morehead State. And then you have Antoine Jackson, who in 1993 graduated from the University of Pikeville, was a really successful player for Pikeville, and has a ton of coaching experience over on the East Coast. And by the way, served as an assistant under Mick Cronin at Cincinnati.
Wow.
So you've got some really, really interesting, unique ties here. And the names that are starting to float to the top of the list for transfer portal, I mean, goodness gracious, Neil, I'm just going to run through some really quick names. And there's no point in running through stats because you don't know who's going to land here. But Jacoby Wood from Belmont. Trey Bonham is going to have an official visit from VMI. Kenny White's already been on his unofficial. Fans should know him. He's a Madisonville graduate.
Yeah, good player.
Good player out of Tennessee Tech. We'll see where he lands. Javion Davis from Mississippi State has Murray State on his list. I believe it's Zhao Atuka from Marist, a really good freshman guard for them. As a freshman, averaged more than 15 points per game. That's the same conference out of the Metro Atlantic that St. Peter's came from. You've got Julian Lewis, who's got some interest from William & Mary. That's a former stop from Antoine Jackson, new assistant. You've got Jordan Nesbitt out of St. Louis, who just hit the portal from the Billikens, who may have some interest in Murray State. I don't know if Iowa State guys, there's two or three guys that have just recently hit the portal. I don't know if Prohm's got ties still there to maybe see if they could have an opportunity here. The point being to all of this, because there's a huge list of names, a couple guys out of Eastern Michigan. I need a spreadsheet for all these names. Point being, you've got to throw your net out for a bunch of different classes, a bunch of different positions to wrap around guys like Justin, Braxton Stacker. You're still probably in the mix for Jackson Edwards, who is starting to get interest from Thad Mata and Butler. What would you do? Do you go get graduate transfers? Like, walk me through your process. From a classification standpoint, your central core right now is DJ and two freshmen. What do you do at this point? Do you go get a bunch of seniors and hope for the best, or do you try to mix it up and get freshmen, sophomores, juniors, high schoolers, couple JUCO? What do you do here?
I think for the most part, you try to work with a starting lineup in mind right now. And right now, you don't have one. The two freshmen, they could be immediate starters. May not be ready.
Absolutely.
But you don't know. There's no evaluation period other than their high school film. DJ has been evaluated. You know what you're going to get from him. High energy, guy can rebound, might be asked to score a little bit more. You have a dude who can rip down 6-7 rebounds a game, could get you 10 points, brings the energy he does. You got one starting spot filled. But you got to go out and get a point guard. That's the number one thing. They have to land a top-notch point guard And then trickle down from there. But because without that, you can have the other good players. If your point guard stinks, your team's going to stink.
Yeah.
That's to me what you do. Then you worry more maybe about class. But you have to get the wide net, like you said. You just don't concentrate on 7 or 8. And then when those fall through, then you regroup and try to go get – you have to get a bunch of players. It's just like a regular recruiting season, I guess. And there's plenty out there. As we mentioned, there's over 92 teams worth where you could fully fund 13 scholarships for 92 teams.
Yep.
So there's plenty out there. Now, there's more than
1,200 guys.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of those that you don't want on your team.
No.
I mean, they're just not really good basketball players. Those are going to be on the teams that you're going to beat.
Yeah.
So, and some of those, and this is the brutal part of the transfer portal that people don't tell you, there's going to be a significant number of those, they're not going to have anywhere to land. And they may have, by entering the portal, burnt the bridge to their previous school, especially if there is a coaching change, then they have nowhere to go.
Right.
So it can be a tough spot, I don't think that'll happen to any of our guys. That's not what I mean, but that's just life in the transfer portal. It really looks good.
You take
and to the really good players, they're all going to find spots. But to the players who, hey, he's coming from so and so, he averaged 2.1 points and 0.3 rebounds per game. He's been hurt 2 years of the last three. Probably not going to land anywhere, except maybe a D2, D3, something like that.
Right.
But to me, point guard, that's where they have to start there. Unless, of course, some five-star guy says, hey, I'm 6'10", I'd like to come to Murray State. Go ahead and pop him a
– We'll see you.
Yeah.
Get here.
Then you go get the point guard.
But Roll out that NIL dollars.
The point guard's got to be right up there to me. And I'm not even a recruiter. So, to me, Steve and his staff would be the ones to ask that question. But that's what I would do.
No, I look forward to asking those questions. Obviously, it's a quiet situation right now, and it should be. They're busy. You know, not only do you have to get your staff and those families here, but you do have to start recruiting. Now, the one thing that I will say, Neil, just an opinion, but from what I'm gathering, guys are still hitting the portal now.
Yeah.
Well, and we're 2 weeks after the season's already over.
Well, I forgot what the date is. There is a cutoff date to where you can hit the portal, and if you hit the portal after that date, then you have to sit out of here.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what the date is, but it's coming up in like a couple of weeks.
Two things that are really, really important to mention here, because I understand, and again, we're not going to turn this into the Portal Podcast or Portal Combat. I have my opinions. You have yours.
I love Portal Combat. That's a.
I do. I want a T-shirt that says Portal Combat.
I saw that shirt, and someone needs to print that.
Yeah, it's. I do have to give credit where credit is due. I believe that was. Oh my gosh, who came up with Portal Combat?
Was it Raw?
Oh yeah, John Rothstein.
John Rothstein.
Yeah. John Rothstein's the one that said Portal Combat, and he's right on the money. What I want to say here, Neil, is that I'm pro Portal. It definitely has its drawbacks, and we can save that for a rainy day podcast. Although we're due a rainy day twice this week, but we'll get into the Portal and its nuances some other time. But one of the things that I will say is a net positive is that you can land so much talent from different directions, places you never even dreamed of. It's like hotels.com. It's like, oh, I didn't even know that was a place. I didn't even know I could stay there. Guys can go find that now. What Steve can't do is go get, in my opinion, 12 guys that all averaged 11 points per game. Yeah. You're going to have to get guys that are like graduate transfers that like, oh, I'm going to come be the guy now.
Yeah.
You got to go get some other guys that are like, developmental. When you have 10 scholarships of all the different classes, you virtually have to rebuild. And I'm saying these things like none of the guys that went to the portal are coming back. I don't know what Matt Smith's doing. I'm not sure what Nicholas McMullen's doing or Deontay Bostic's doing. You know, that's three guys that still kind of are wavering out there as to where they're headed next. I'm simply saying these things because you have a situation so unique from an opportunity perspective. Do you go talk to a couple of high schoolers? One of the high schoolers offered today, just to age us both a little bit here, is Isaac Chu's son, Patrick Chu. You know, he's a high schooler. Do you take on another high school commitment? Or do you really think, man, we just got to get the right balance of veteran presence?
Yeah.
in this locker room.
Well, they have the two, right? If the two guys stick and they get one more, I mean, that's three. That's probably enough.
Yeah, three high schoolers probably makes sense. So now an untapped potential. One place that we haven't even mentioned, and I'm not going to go through the number of names right now that are in the JUCO realm, but I'm going to junior college. Murray State has been so successful. Steve Prohm has been so successful in finding the niche guy out of junior college that will come and help you. Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's not going to come in and give you 31-7, but he'll come in and give you 8-6, you know, with a steal and a block. Those are the kind of guys, the meld guys, the glue guys that you need. But you're exactly right. It started with, you just said, you need starting lineup.
But you can get some good ones from time to time. Mark Gottfried, I remember him asking a coach about DT Mays and said, look, I need somebody to give me a little punch, can handle one of my guard spots. If DT comes, can he get me 13, maybe 14 points a game? His coach said, no. He can get you 22, 24 points a game. So, of course, Godfrey's like, okay, sure.
Sure, I believe you. I don't get it.
But so he figures the guy's blowing smoke. He'd take the 12 or 13. Turned out the coach was right. He got him 22, 23 points a game. So those are out there, but that's a rarity that you land that guy at Murray State. But sometimes you do. Sometimes you catch lightning in a bottle from the JUCO guys.
I'll just say this to anybody listening. You the JUCO portal right now is open. You've got an NAIA. Now, two stats that I found really interesting. Jeff Goodman made a great point. One thing that's actually going to happen in the next 18 months is that the portal will shrink over time.
Yes, yeah.
Because the one-year transfer will be gone, you know, the COVID year. I mean the COVID year.
Right.
And right now, 10% of the portal, roughly, is walk-ons.
Yeah.
Guys just looking for that, where am I going? Do I go up? Do I go down? Do I not go anywhere? Is my basketball career over? And that's an extreme possibility. The other thing that I did find really interesting is you talked about landing spots. Last year, according to data from the NCAA, D2 transfers, and this is just D2 transfers, 25% of last year's D2 transfers did not play again.
Wow.
And I know that's D2.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to disparage any level of basketball. Yeah. You know, maybe there are some D2 guys or some NAIA guys. It's been mentioned to me the possibility that Georgetown's Darren Boyd might be a possibility for Murray State men's basketball. That's a guy that, you know, played really well at Georgetown, has graduated early, is looking for that next opportunity, and might be a guy, kids from Caldwell County, you know, super talented player. Do you go get some locals that are at the JUCO ranks that maybe can come and help right away? I'm thinking about, I know you need 1 through 5, and you hopefully have one in DJ Burns, so 4, 1 through 4, right. But you're still going to need 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and you know, and then you know, all hail Rod Thomas,
yeah.
who definitely you know stayed on
Mr. Murray
on board.
Come on,
he is absolutely Mr. Murray, and I hope he gets starts before. I mean, not this next year, but right. I hope at some point in his career he is rewarded.
Well, he's a good like, and Matt said this best. One of our coaches shows someone asking what he looks for as a walk on. He just said Rod Thomas. Just Rod Thomas, grades, work ethic, everything you wanted to walk on is this kid right here.
Yeah.
Said, just give me one every year. Not a problem.
Yeah.
So Rod is, I'm sure he's on the team as long as he wants to be on the team.
Yeah.
It's up to him when he doesn't want to be on the team.
We've talked a lot about men's basketball, and there's so many other subjects we can talk about. And men's basketball is going to continue to be a long and ongoing discussion, not just from a recruiting standpoint, but until that roster is 13 men and the summer workouts start. I know people are worried, and I get that. I know why.
There's no need to worry about it.
And well,
can't control it.
Right. I don't mean worry in the sense of there's a pit knot in their stomach. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, you're headed to the Missouri Valley. You want to have a good impression that first year. It's been iterated to me multiple times that I think people are concerned that you don't necessarily want to limp in like Valpo, or maybe, and I'm not going to disparage Valpo. Valpo's history is phenomenal. The Beacons, formerly the Crusaders, it's a terrific basketball program. Same thing with Evansville. I think people just don't want to get into the Missouri Valley and go 3-22. You know, Steve doesn't want to go into the Missouri Valley and go 3-22. His assistants don't. Kevin Saul, Dave Winder, everybody wrapped around this program. Fans don't want to go 3-22. So that's just where the concern lies. It's like, well, what 10 guys are going to help? I mean, if you really think about it, and again, I'm not trying to put too much like drama around it, but it is your first year in the Missouri Valley. You want to open up your theatrical performance with at least a really solid dry run before things really get going under Steve Prohm, who just inked his four-year contract. Mm-hmm. So details of that contract from WPSD's Jeff Bidwell retired. Hey, Jeff, good to. We'll see you soon. From Adam Wells and Blake Sandlin, you're looking a little bit more than $500,000 a year for 4 years. So no surprises there. I didn't think.
And you tell me that you can get by well on that. That's about what you make. So
this podcast.
So it's easy.
$500,000.
Yeah, rolling it in.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
So it'd be no problem.
Neil, I'll say this. I'm stressing, man. The dishwasher and I are stressing. We got to buy a new fridge, and I'm gonna have to donate a kidney to buy the new
really?
Fridge. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I love our new fridge. It's wonderful. I loved it. And then this past week, this little thing starts blinking on it. Replace the ice or the water filter.
That's like, it.
What? The water filter?
Yeah.
So I go to get that. It's 50-something bucks.
Oh, yeah. We replace water filters on ours all the time. Ours is actually freezing over, though. That's our problem. We're actually having we have a motherboard issue.
Oh, okay.
Our fridge has a motherboard. There's a computer inside of it.
Oh, okay.
And it won't defrost.
And it's on hill because it's frozen hill. Over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Gotcha.
This is why you're invited to my house. I love it. I want to jump into just a little bit of women's basketball discussion. Some things that you and I have alluded to in the past have now come to fruition.
Yes.
While you were gone, Macy Turley and Alexis Burpo officially confirmed
right.
that they will be returning for their final seasons, their COVID years, and helping lead this team to the Missouri Valley. Freaking phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Owen Rochelle got an extension.
Yes, well, and she should have. That's information that Rochelle had told me at a coach's show, but it was not released, and so I couldn't release it and couldn't say anything about it. But there was all sorts of rumors around on Macy previously.
Right.
And then when she told me about Burpo, like, wow, that's actually really awesome.
Oh, it's awesome.
And so they get leadership and experience heading in. Also, here's the thing it does. The newcomers, that's two of her players that say, here's the way we do things at Murray State to the newcomers coming
in. Oh, absolutely,
And they're going to show them the way. And then I think they're poised for really great things.
Is that a Peter Frampton song?
Show me the way. Yeah. Show me the way is a Peter Frampton.
Yes.
Song.
Okay.
Gosh, are you alive enough to? I was like in high school when I was
love
out
classic.
There.
I love classic rock, man. But yeah, as soon as you said "Show me the way," I just started hearing freaking Peter Frampton.
So
on
Macy probably will help set the table for whoever the next point guard is going to be somewhere down the road.
Yeah,
that hopefully that young lady will be on the roster, and then Burpo does everything. We've always joked that if they got there, something happened to the bus driver, I'm sure she could drive the bus. They just go up and drive the bus. I'm like, all right, I'll do that.
She's tall
enough
to drive the bus.
She's tall enough. I promise she wouldn't hesitate twice about it if they told her to do it, just because that's her nature. What do you need me to do?
50. Above 50.
Will this help us win? Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'll do it.
That's a speed reference, by the way.
Yeah, I know that one. Sandra Bullock. Yeah, she's in speed, right?
So is Keanu Reeves, but I know Sandra's a fine lady. So is Alexis Burpo, a terrific basketball player.
Yes,
certainly going to help this team move forward. She is that Swiss Army knife.
Yeah,
we made all the jokes, but you're exactly right. You and I have talked about it so much. It's worth talking about every single time. The leap that she has taken each year successively and then had to push through the COVID year just like everybody else did, but she – of course, you know, had to overcome it physically, and absolutely just a terrific year. A new addition for Murray State women's basketball. My math slips my mind. I'm not sure how many scholarships they have left currently. I know that Rochelle they're always scouting for new talent.
Sure.
If I had to ballpark it, I think it's one or two scholarships currently open. As Bell West is headed elsewhere. I think it's one scholarship open, but don't hold me to that. One scholarship has been filled. a new addition, a graduate transfer. One young lady, Jordan Hughes, a 5'8 guard out of Gurnee, Illinois. She's a psychology major. Warren Township was her high school. She's basically, I don't like to do super comparisons or anything like that, but she had 40 steals last season, shot 39% from the field, and 40% from three. Kind of reminds me of
Lex Mays.
Lex Mays.
There you go.
Those are Lex Mays numbers. And I mean, and she averaged 7.5 points and 3.3 rebounds per game. Again, 40%. She shot better from three than she did from the field. Yeah. She is a sharpshooter.
That's great. That's a great addition. Really good to have. Having that 3-point weapon in the women's game is, well, in men's game too, but in the women's game, it can really be a difference maker when you have that outside presence to draw attention away from the inside presence of Caitlin Young.
Spread the floor.
Because if they're knocking down threes, they can't leave them open. And if they go guard them, that's layup after layup after made free throw for Miss Young.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. I say these things, and again, I mean, really curious to see. Like I said, I think my math is not wrong here. Curious to see. I think there's one scholarship available, so I wonder if there's.
It wasn't so late, I would text one of them, but it's 10 o'clock.
It's all good. We roll forward. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think they're open for business right now. But if you're not, you're looking pretty good.
I could text
from a rotation standpoint.
Amber would. She's probably playing basketball right now.
I started saying Amber.
She's sleeping or playing or coaching.
Doesn't sleep. I want to. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. Jesus. The energy. I can't imagine where some people come up with this. So, speaking of energy, like I said, in the 7 days, 8 days that you were gone, you and I had not, of course, podcasted, but the Missouri Valley Football Conference, you and I talked about this when the announcement was made that it was abundantly clear in the conversation that Kevin Saul, Bob Jackson, you know, Eric Krigler, everybody kept saying, we're applying, we're applying. That part was not the mystery. The mystery was, are they actually going to get accepted? Mm-hmm. And was it unanimous, which I found to be rather interesting, but I'm not surprised by it. Just it's an interesting discussion nonetheless. But Murray State football has been accepted into the Missouri Valley Football Conference, effective as of the summer of 2023. So you get 1 year in the Ohio Valley Conference. These are things you and I said were extremely possible.
Right.
The interesting part about all this, because I don't necessarily even think there was foreshadowing or a foregone conclusion, but we knew that these conversations were going to happen. Wasn't unanimous, and North Dakota State's president came out and said, we just think it's going to be a problem. It was mentioned to me by multiple sources that they were surprised to see a president actually come out and say something about it. It's one thing behind closed doors. You go back to 2017, Neil, when you and I talked a lot about, oh, well, who was making decisions then?
Right.
Did the offer ever come? Why didn't it come? Who was saying what? That was a lot of back channeling and whatever. This was a public discussion. This was a public answer. Now, president of the North Dakota State didn't illuminate his decision-making process as to why. He just said, we don't think it's going to work. We're voting no. Kevin Saul, Dean Hood, even the Missouri Valley Football Conference president, I have her name right here. I'm so sorry. Patty Viverito had something to say about it. They were like, we know that, you know, in this process, this isn't just an accident. Like, we've told Murray State, this is what you're going to have to do to meet X benchmarks to be competitive in our league. Mm-hmm. Now, I've said from day one, somebody's going to finish in last place every year. That's just math. That's life.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, even if everybody goes 4-5, 5-4, 6-3, 7-2, 8-1, whatever, somebody's still 4-5. I think the concern from North Dakota State, and I've been told through multiple sources that maybe South Dakota State wasn't interested in the idea either, was that there's just the concept of maybe the competitive balance Murray doesn't offer as much as maybe another school would. What is your initial reaction to all this? Because clearly it's happened. It's done. We're moving on. The Ohio Valley Conference football is no more for Murray after this year.
I do see where they're coming from in terms of the historic, I guess, one loss record over Murray State over the last 20 years overall hasn't been great.
Yeah.
Had some good years. The spring that we played this past spring, I guess, because mm-hmm. I saw that come up that on April 11th, I was doing a Jacksonville State Murray State football game, which was kind of weird, but nevertheless,
and it was for a championship.
It was so they have been competitive at times and very good at times, but from that standpoint, again, as far as why they would think it wouldn't work, I don't understand the not working part. Unless if they're going to do the divisions, as I have been led to believe, that might be something they do plan on doing.
It's a possibility,
and if they divide it, then I do understand what they mean. That won't work because if you have Murray State playing Western Illinois, Southern Illinois, and Indiana State, and those schools, and rarely playing North Dakota State, North Dakota, South Dakota, South Dakota. I understand that. Suddenly you can rack up if you were one of the better teams of that group, a better record in playing, I guess you play five games there,
right,
and then three of the other every year, and mathematically then switch it back. So you get eight games. So you could rack up, if you're one of the best, you can go 5-6-2, and then not have to play these three of these other teams at all. And I understand that if they are going to a division concept, and if they're not going to a division concept, then if they just rotate the schedules, then I don't really understand. But I do at least understand where they're coming from, but I think it's going to help Murray State to get better. Now I think they can get even better players, and it should really help the team move forward with that. I hope so.
I think one of the things, and it's certainly that's the hope, and I think there is going to be active work done in that way. Otherwise, you'll be hiring a new staff. I think Dean Hood knows that. I think Kevin Saul knows that. I think everybody knows that this big of a move, you're pushing some chips in. You know, and that's a gamble you're taking. And the Missouri Valley Football Conference is pushing its chips in, trying to unify all sports being in the Missouri Valley, save for rifle for Murray State, and the Missouri Valley taking in that full acceptance of Murray State, making sure, hey, we want to include all boats as you try to rise your program in our leagues. That being said, we have to note it again until people realize this and remember it. The Missouri Valley Football Conference operates completely differently than the Missouri Valley Conference.
Right.
They are just two different presidents, different goals, same mission, be successful, go to the playoffs, win things for our league, but you have a different demographic and geographic for the Missouri Valley Football Conference.
Some common board members between the two, but I think that's it. For the most part.
All of these things were announced on top of the fact that Murray State's football schedule has been released. Home games. And Neil, this last year in the Ohio Valley Conference is a real freaking treat for you and your staff. You've got JSU at home on the 10th of September. The 24th of September, it's EIU at home. UT Martin, October 8th at home. TSU, October 29th. And then, so Halloween weekend. And then November 12th, Robert Morris away. You open at Lubbock on September 3rd, Texas Tech. On September 17th, you go to Ball State. On October 1st, you go to SLU, Southeast Louisiana, which is a terrific program. October 15th, you are headed to Austin Peay. The 22nd, you're headed to Lindenwood. And then the 19th of November, your last game of the season, you are headed once again to SEMO to close a season. What do you know? Every freaking year, Neil, it's always, well, let's just close with SEMO. And that's always feels like to me a freaking make or break. Either something really magical happens at Hauk Stadium or somebody gets fired. And it's absurd.
That hasn't been every year. We've closed at Tennessee Tech for several years.
Sure, but just the history.
The reason I know, we're usually doing basketball and I don't do the last game of the year.
Okay.
That's how I'm usually with the basketball team.
You're not having to go to Cookeville. Yeah.
And don't go to Cookeville. But the last time was at Southeast Missouri, and we sent a crew over there. This time, whoever gets to go, likely, from what I'm being told, will not see the game. They'll be broadcasting from the Rose Theater.
Again?
Blocks away. Yeah. From what I understand, the press box still won't be done. So unless they come up with an alternate way of doing that.
Maybe it's like high school and it's just so nice outside. You can just do it from the sideline.
But yeah, the Rose, so we did it at a building. But anyhow, that's a long, long way off. Here's the thing. How many teams are in the OVC, Ed?
Six.
For football. We got six teams.
Six. Murray State.
Yeah.
UT Martin. Okay. TSU. Lindenwood.
Eastern Illinois.
Eastern Illinois.
Tennessee Tech.
And Tennessee Tech.
There you go. So you have
Tennessee Tech's not on that list.
Yeah, yeah. Not playing Tennessee Tech. So you have a six. You have five potential teams you can play, and you still can't manage to play everybody in your league. You still can't do a round robin. I just, you know, whatever. I just don't understand
that's a good point.
How that is really.
You made a great point. I didn't even think about it as I was reading it to you, but you're right. No Tech.
Yeah.
Why isn't Tech on the list?
I did read something. I don't know if I still have it, but I did read as to why that was the case. And it's in Tennessee Tech's release for their schedule.
Ah.
So wherever that is, you can go there and find that. But they did mention as to will not play Murray State because of, I don't remember what it was.
Enough for you to be like, I don't know why I'm doing this. Why
but,
is this
But once
happening?
I saw that, I was like, what? Come on. Can we not figure this one out? But obviously we couldn't. But nevertheless, do not play Tennessee Tech. And just so you know, everybody has a team they don't play.
Oh, wow.
So everyone's going to have the same number of conference games.
Is that the switch because of the Big South games? Is that right? Was it Big South?
Yeah. So I don't really know.
Just enough to frustrate you.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, when you have a sixth, I get it. In the Missouri Valley Football Conference next year, you're not going to play 11 games against
your
not
entire
playing
conference.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you can't play money games if you do that. And that's not going to happen. That's unrealistic. But when you got six, can't you play everybody? Five. That's five games.
But you're right. It is just five games.
But the schedule. Let's talk the schedule. You talk about brutal at the top, man.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean, that is brutal.
The Missouri. You're talking about for Murray?
Yeah.
Just next year.
For next year.
Oh, it's brutal.
With Texas Tech. I mean, that's your money game. Your big money game. Ball State. I realize they're not like a powerhouse. They're not up for the Rose Bowl or anything. But you're still playing a MAC team that has more scholarships, so that's tough. You get Jacksonville State. Even if they're down, they're good.
It's Conference USA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
boom, there's that one.
They're officially FBS this year too, aren't they?
Then don't you open it at home with UT Martin?
Yeah.
Is that your – so, I mean
– No, you open it against Eastern Illinois.
Illinois, yeah.
Which should be improved, but you get UT Martin 2 weeks later.
Yeah, all right. But, that's a
– What a hoot. A
tough, tough schedule. We have good team returning, some really good players. But, hey, something you're going to notice when you look at the roster next year, the transfer portal hits football too.
It sure does.
And you're going to go, where's so-and-so? Hey, where'd he go? I don't know. Oh, okay. But it's fact of life.
And not only does it hit the transfer portal in a negative way, but it hits in a positive way.
We'll have some guys, hey, this guy's pretty good.
You'd be like, how did we get a couple of FBS guys?
Yeah. It's just what it is.
Yeah, they were looking for snaps,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, and to be fair, last year's roster had quite a few graduate transfers, you know, that made the roster. So it'll be really interesting to see who Dean and the guys pull in. There's no need in digressing in that because a lot of that's going to change by the time we get to June. You know, there'll probably be 15 new guys.
Oh, yeah.
as part of the roster. So
I have it's been so many years since I've really given, and you hate to say this, I don't mean to come off negatively, but spring football, because you go to spring football, like, well, how'd they look? Like, well, they look either good or bad, but it doesn't matter because this isn't going to be the team we're going to see in the fall.
You're right.
There'll be several new players, and our new guys aren't here. There's going to be freshmen that get some snaps. There'll be some additions in the summer. So
and JUCO transfers.
Yeah.
JUCO and transfer portal will help Murray State football.
So I don't know exactly what. But I do think Missouri Valley Football Conference will help. No, I'm
good. We say these things about football. I want to go ahead and dive in just a little bit. Honestly, the crazy thing is all of these. You had all these basketball changes. You've had now a big football change. You've got Murray State baseball kind of struggling out of the gate here in the Ohio Valley Conference. Meanwhile, softball has been phenomenal.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely phenomenal. I don't want to shortchange baseball. I think their offense has been pretty solid. I think pitching against the Ohio Valley Conference, particularly on the road, has been not beneficial for Racer baseball. Right. Like they struggled at Moorhead. They struggled at SEMO. And I think a lot of that, I don't necessarily think it was from an offensive perspective. I think some of it was just didn't get the timely pitching that you needed in those middle innings. Tough scenario. They played Ole Miss today, lost 8-2 on the road. That's respectable. Ole Miss is top 25. But you play 20 conference games. Is that right in baseball? Or is it more than that?
I don't remember.
I am trying to remember how many. Well, last year, for instance, they went.
Well, last year was a different year because of COVID. The schedules were different. Sure. So this is a different year.
You're 1-8 in the OVC. And so there's time. But I think from a pitching perspective, I think that's probably the number one concern that I think people are kind of bringing to the forefront of their mind is, well, we've really got to get this team ERA down. You know, maybe the defense has got to improve a little bit.
Right.
But offense doesn't seem to be too much of an issue right now. Meanwhile, you go look at Racer softball, and they are 30-12.
Yeah, they're getting hitting. They have what the Braumeyer girls set the school record with 21 doubles. She could go home right now, and she has the school record for doubles.
She leads the nation in doubles.
Yeah, leads the nation, but she has the school record already.
Yep. So I thought there were 30 wins. They're 27-11.
And she isn't, by the way, she isn't going home right now. So
no.
She's going to be adding to that total.
Oh, well, first of all, they're only 11-3 in conference, and they still have, let's do some math here really quick. Just some really quick scrolling math here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15 games left, I do believe. 14 games, yeah. 14 games left, excuse me.
And they're tied, sole possession of first place with the win over Belmont.
Yep. Huge. And you play Tennessee State this weekend, pending weather, April 15th and 16th. Unbelievable. Hannah James, believe it's the fourth time this year that she was named OVC Pitcher of the Week.
Yeah.
You take a look at – I'm just going to look at it. Just we're right here live. Let's look at some numbers here. From a pitching perspective, Neil, this is absolutely absurd. Hannah James has a 0.97 ERA.
And check her walk and strikeouts on innings pitched.
It's 10-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
insane.
I can't even understand how you can do that.
Yeah. She has 112 strikeouts and 12 walks.
Wow.
Teams are hitting 171 against her. And then you have Jenna Weber that's got a 1 ERA. One.
She's singular. The bad pitcher.
She's
on
the number
staff.
Two. And then you have,
and I was doing the air quotes because that's not a bad pitcher.
But. And then you have Cameron Karsich, who is a 1.19. And then I'm going to say that I'm going to botch this name. I think is it Emma Alaniak? Alaniak?
It is now.
Alaniak.
Yes.
O L E J N I C.
Let's just go with that.
Alaniak. Whatever. She has a 2.55 ERA. Team ERA is 1.09.
That's phenomenal. Pitching is, in baseball or softball, that gives you a chance. And they got pretty good pitching last year, but the offense was not good at all. That has been taken care of this year. They're scoring some runs. The pitching is even better. They're just having an absolutely phenomenal season. And there's still plenty of time left for baseball to get things turned around after their 8-0 start to start the year. It's the only game I was able to see. Every time they're home, I'm gone somewhere. But from now on, I'm going to be able to catch some games.
I want
to
fix this, actually. That was not an updated PDF. But still, team ERA is 1.81.
It's still really
good. And Hannah James is legitimately a 10-1 strikeout-to-walk
ratio.
146 strikeouts to 14 walks.
Whew. That's
insane. She's 13-4 in 25 appearances. Jenna Weber has a 1.83. Hannah James's whip, which whip is one of my favorite stats, by the way, 0.78. Seems good.
Yeah.
Seems decent.
Yeah.
And then you go to offense, and you mentioned this. Logan Braunmeier's OPS is 1.197, which is freaking ridiculous with a 733 slugging. Her on-base percentage is 46%, 0.464. That's insane. Six homers, 31 RBI, 38 runs, and 21 doubles. Leads the nation, and you have 15 games to go.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
And has the record, like I said, the doubles record already,
mm-hmm.
if she just decides to nap the rest of the year, and that won't happen.
Yeah,
so she's going to push that thing to an unreachable height.
Yeah, Gracie Osborne's been really, really good this year. You look at batting average this year, you have Bronmeyer, Osborne, Isabella Wilson kind of coming in, and, you know, she started 13 games, played in 27. She's hitting 368. Lily Fisher, 316 in 38 games. Chloe Jacques, 292. Sierra Gilmore, 280. Jensen Striegel, 273. And Lindsey Carroll, 269. Well, that is markedly better top to bottom for the Racers this year.
They're awesome at softball. Not at trivia, as our trivia team beat the softball team tonight. At TAP. I saw some of the softball team and some coaches there, but they're really good at softball.
That's savage, Neil. Did they finish second?
I'm just kidding. I'll be really honest. 99 times out of 100 when we play, they beat us. So we don't win very often.
See, there you go. So there you give them. But you got your the comeuppance.
Yes, we did. That's the only time we could go up against them in probably anything and win. Obviously, in softball, I don't want any part of Hannah James.
Not at all.
Being a bot. I have a wrist injury, so I can't bat. That's it. That's it. So I would. I'd probably take her deep a couple of three times.
You don't want to get.
But it's a permanent thing, so we'll never be able to know. But no, she's. I saw her pitch, and she is phenomenal to watch.
She is phenomenal. She was really good in high school, and now she's been doing special things.
She has.
Now she's like somehow amped that.
Yes.
Hannah James has somehow taken that to the next level.
I know.
Which is phenomenal. Last couple of notes I want to leave with, guys, as we go into the playoffs for the NBA. Neil, I know you're such a huge NBA fan, but I know I know.
When's the playoffs start?
Now.
Pretty soon?
Today.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The play-ins were today, but here's the deal.
The play-ins or the playoffs? Which are they?
Well, the play-ins are right now.
The play-ins are the playoffs?
To get in the playoffs.
Or are the playoffs not the play-ins?
What? Who's on first?
So these aren't the playoffs.
They are.
They're the play-ins.
But they're called play-ins. These are like, it's like in the round play-ins of 68, you've got the Neil, you're killing me. You've got play-in games to make it into like the playoffs. Okay. We are in the postseason.
But it's the NBA teams are the only ones eligible. You don't bring in other teams to play in.
You don't.
Okay.
No. Good. These are teams that finish like 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th.
So really awful teams, like the Lakers.
Well, yeah, but the Lakers didn't even make the play-in this year.
They can't even make the play-in.
No. They're play done.
They don't have a extra level of play-in
that
they could get into a play-in to get to the playoffs.
No, because they actually ended up being they finished 11th in the West.
Well, hopefully.
Well, remember last year.
Next year for their coach.
Right, sure exactly. Yeah, whichever coach it'll be.
Oh, they fired him?
They fired Frank Vogel. Yeah, sure did yesterday.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, he won the championship COVID year for the bubble, and the Lakers won.
But what have you done for me lately, right?
Yeah. Well, and you're exactly right. Yeah. So you – Memphis, the reason I'm even bringing this up, we talk about Cam and Ja quite a bit, and we should.
And we do.
Yeah.
And should. Yeah.
Cameron Payne and Ja Morant. Here's the crazy thing, Neil, and I'm probably going to write a little bit about it. There's several things I've got just on the hopper that I just want to get off my mind. But you have two guys, former Racers, one coached, of course, by Steve Prohm and his staff, and Cameron Payne. And Matt McMahon, really, for that matter, as an assistant. And then, Ja Morant, who we've already talked a lot about. You have this situation, Neil, where the Phoenix Suns are the best team in the NBA statistically and by record, and Cam played a big role in that. Cam did not get to play last couple of games of the regular season, but he finished, by the way, averaging 10.8 points per game, 3 rebounds per game, 4.9 assists, all career highs based on the number of games played, with 50% true shooting.
Wow.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal to think about. And then you have Ja Morant, who led the league in points in the paint. He's the first guard since they started scoring points in the paint to do it. Averaged more than 16 points per game just in the paint.
Goodness.
He's finished the season. Now, granted, he did not play in enough games to qualify as a scoring champion, scoring leader push.
Right.
But he finished in, let's see, how many games did he play? I want to get total stats. I want to be totally accurate here. He played 57 games, 50 all starts, obviously, 57 of 82. So he almost played 66% of the season, finished with 27.4 points per game, almost 6 rebounds, almost 7 assists, and 57.5% from true shooting. Just absolutely phenomenal. He was, so far, his third year, career high from two-point percentage, career high from three-point percentage, Actually, his lowest total so far is assists because he took on more of a scoring load. His scoring has gone from 17.8 points per game his rookie year to 19 points per game last year to 27 this year. Whew. Just a complete, I mean, rebounding, all career high, especially defensively, 76% from the free throw line, and again, 34% from the line, from the arc. And so it's on a career high in attempts. So it's just, the reason I'm even mentioning these two guys, clearly former Racers, Memphis is the 2 seed in the West. Phoenix is the 1 seed. I don't want to wish any of this away because I fully expect the playoffs to be really magical for both of these teams mm-hmm. for obvious reasons. But if we play chalk and we play seed line, we will have Memphis versus Phoenix in the Western Conference Finals.
Wow.
If you're a Racer fan, you're begging for this,
yes.
number one.
Yeah.
If you're an NBA fan, you're begging for it because it's the old savvy veterans of Devin Booker and Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton, you know, as a young rook coming up and building, and Jay Crowder and, you know, and all these Mikal Bridges. You've got all these guys that have built this team. I mean, Phoenix won 67 games this year, Neil. That's insane.
Yeah.
And in starts, Cameron Payne averaged almost a double-double. He came in when Chris Paul was hurt and was phenomenal multiple times. He picked up 3 double-doubles. Out of the 5 he has for his entire career, just mm-hmm. absolutely, you know, really helped Phoenix stay stable. We say these things. The Memphis Grizzlies, this was a fun stat that I saw today. The Memphis Grizzlies are the youngest team ever to be a 2 seed, ever, in the history of the NBA. If they make the finals, they'll be the 2nd youngest team ever to make the finals, other than the 76-77 Portland Trailblazers.
Goodness. Wow.
And that's what I'm – the reason I'm bringing all this up and the reason I'm saying these things is that Murray State men's basketball is very firmly affixed in what the Western Conference playoffs will look like. Cameron Payne's play off of the bench behind Chris Paul and Devin Booker will be a key factor in how far they go, in my opinion, just because of how much he's given them this year. Mm-hmm. They're not just going to shorten his minutes because they've gotten to the playoffs. Right. He now has that experience. Started 2 playoff games last year. You and I talked about that against the Clippers. So you have that in the bag for Phoenix, and then you have Memphis that wants to make sure they don't flame out after having a terrific season in which they won a franchise-tying 56 games. Mm-hmm. Franchise-tying. Neil, with Morant starting, he won 60% of his games. Well, we've seen that before.
Yeah.
That's what he does. And with him out, they went 20-2.
Wow.
Or 20-3.
Yeah.
So they're deep and they're good. If we get Memphis versus Phoenix, I have a feeling everybody in Western Kentucky that cares about Murray State basketball will just descend to Memphis for games. I'm saying it. I don't want to wish it. You and I talked about the possibility of Murray State and UK. It didn't happen. This possibly doesn't happen. The West is so tough. You got Utah. You got the Golden State Warriors. You've got Minnesota's playing pretty well right now. We'll see what happens with them in the play-in. Dallas is going to have to deal with the fact that Luka Doncic is not healthy right now. But the West is going to be so difficult. But you hope if Seedline plays out, we get this magical storyline.
It'd be great. Glad to see that Ja seems healthy.
Oh, yeah. And, oh, my goodness.
He's putting up good numbers since his comeback. And so when do they play? Or they get some time off?
They had this entire week off.
So that's good for him.
It's huge. So in his one game back, I'm glad you brought that up, and we'll close with this. His one game back, he actually went plus 18 against New Orleans. They had a 55-point third quarter against New Orleans, actually, where they shot 20 for 26. It's pretty good as a team.
Yeah.
He shot 50% from the field, made 2 of his 3 three-pointers, 5 of his 7 free throws, 9 assists, 4 turnovers, 21 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds on 50% shooting. That's pretty good. That's going to win you some games in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Memphis is waiting, and this is where it's tough because tickets have already gone on sale. Memphis plays on Saturday, I believe, and they are awaiting Honestly, I have to look this up because it's really convoluted how this is supposed to happen. Let me get super details. Okay, so this is from the Commercial Appeal, Nick Gray of the Commercial Appeal. They're the 2 seed in the Western Conference Finals. They will play the winner of the play-in tournament between the 7th place Minnesota Timberwolves or the 8th place Los Angeles Clippers, which at this exact moment is playing out on ESPN, and I don't mind saying it really quick. Currently, the Clippers lead the Minnesota Timberwolves 74-70 on TNT with 3:14 to go at the time of this podcast. So either of those teams didn't give Memphis a lot of trouble this season. Minnesota had a couple of good wins in Minnesota. Clippers the same way in LA, but you have home field. You have home court advantage as the 2 seed. Pretty favorable in the first round. Yeah. And if you have a first round victory, now all of a sudden Memphis has got momentum going into the second round. Got maybe the Denver Nuggets, maybe the, who knows? Like I said, the West is tough, but certainly worth watching. Memphis's first game, you asked that question, is Saturday against either of those teams.
All right.
One final note. I want to homage to the Ohio Valley Conference. Two guys right now that are playing in the NBA, former OVC players, that are having some really nice success. Former Austin Peay star, Terry Taylor, who, by the way, not only has signed a contract with the Indiana Pacers, but this season averaged more than 9.5 points and 5 rebounds per game. His player efficiency rating on his time under Rick Carlisle as a guy coming off the bench, and really I think he even earned a couple of starts, if I'm not mistaken, was 19.07 player efficiency rating. Yes, played 33 games. Can't wait to get his basketball card, by the way. Played 33 games, 7 starts, shot 61% from the field. And by the way, average 2.9 offensive rebounds per game. Who would have thought? Mm-hmm. Who would have thought, Neil? A guy that had monster offensive rebounding skill in the OVC, 6'6", just translated the NBA.
Yeah.
I thought he would do well. And he shot 32% from three as well. And you hope that just stays where it is and improves.
Yeah.
Another guy who's currently playing right now, I think. Let's look. He's technically not on their roster, and that makes me sad for the playoffs. But he actually played a decent amount for the Clippers this year here later on. And I'm pulling his numbers up. Xavier Moon. There's a name you haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, with Morehead.
Yeah, Jonathan Maddox, Murray State's assistant now, was with Spradlin when Moon was coming up through Sean Woods and all them. Had Moon. Maddox helped with that transition.
Right.
And here we are. Moon in, let's see, in 10 games, so all toward the end of this season, shot 49% from the field, 6 points, 2.4 assists. He's only 27 years old, and it looks like the Clippers, you know, certainly are going to at least keep him in their G League ranks. But I was blown away when I saw that come up on my screen one day. Saw a Twitter thing come up, and it was like, Xavier Moon scores a triple-double with G League, whatever. And I was like, whoa, there's a name from the past that I hadn't seen. Yeah. Come to find out, he's got an NBA opportunity, and the Clippers are currently in the playoffs right now. So some really cool stuff. Neil, it's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun. I will say, age myself, maybe you a little bit here, but me as well. I certainly was not even a twinkle in my mom and dad's eye when this happened, but I was lucky enough and bought this in Marshall County this past weekend. My mom and I were in an antique store, and a 1973 Topps Roberto Clemente was well affordable, well within my range. Clemente passed away in that tragic airplane crash on the way to Nicaragua December 31st of 1972. The reason I mention these things is that his 1973 Topps baseball card was probably printed and on the production line despite his death. Like, they'd already cut the cards in preparation for the next season. He tragically passed away with 3,000 career hits and, you know, on a mission trip to Nicaragua. But in honor, Topps had already cut the card and didn't want to not release it.
Oh, sure.
So it was part of the set.
Yeah.
Yeah. as a part of history, the card itself, in my opinion, probably just isn't that valuable. I mean, just 1973, it was his last year. His rookie card is clearly the most valuable. But from a historic standpoint, man, it was a piece of history, and it was neat to see it, and it was neat to see it be able to fit in my wallet. And so I was able to procure a Roberto
Clemente. Well, since we're on baseball, since your owner hates your team, come on over to my team, Ed. We have plenty of seats available for every game. We've won 11 championships. I know the Reds, they won one one time, I remember.
1990.
Yeah.
They won some before that, too, but 90 is the most recent.
But in the 70s, they were the most awesome one. With the big red machine. But, yeah, we got plenty of room with the big dead machine that you got going there now. So it's an open invite, and you don't even have to change colors of stuff. We'll just get you some STLs to put over the C. It's easy.
For those that heard all of my keys,
I didn't know what that
punching
was
in there. Well, that was me actually looking up how much money we have in the bank account to buy players, and it was just coming up 0000000. The Cardinals just won 6-5 against the Royals. That's the I-70 series, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Cardinals are now 3-1 at home. Don't mind bringing this up at all. As a matter of fact, it was, St. Louis took a 6-3 lead in the bottom of the fourth. Is it Andrew Knizer?
Kisner.
Is it
the catcher?
Is it Kisner?
Is that the one?
Yeah, K-N-I-Z-N-E-R?
Kisner.
Kisner. Oh, okay. Well, he homered, and he scored Tommy Edman and Albert Pujols for the 6-3 lead. Then top seventh, KC scores. Salvador Perez, of course, homers. What do you know? No surprise there. Cuts it to 6-5 in the top of the eighth. The Cardinals hold on. So,
yeah.
3-1 start to the season. And you're right. Meanwhile, my owner and president decided they wanted to come out and say, hey, you know we're bad today. It's opening day. Where are you going
to
go?
I know. I told you where you're going to go. Come to the big ours. You don't even have to know how to get there. You just keep driving west. There's an arch there, and that's it.
You exhaust me.
And you just go in. You go to baseball heaven. Have a couple of brats. See the Musial statue. Take a picture there.
I love these things. Yeah. I love going to a game at Busch Stadium. Yeah. But I absolutely loathe everything about the St. Louis Cardinals,
That's horrible.
It is horrible.
My goal in life is to convert you before I die.
Well,
when I'm 200.
If you're on your deathbed and you ask me to say, go Cardinals.
Don't do it. Then that's not sincere.
It's disingenuous.
Yeah. That's an empty gesture at that point. So don't give me any of that crap.
Just trying to get you in heaven.
Yeah, that's it.
Total last thing, Neil. You're a big Stranger Things fan.
I like Stranger Things, yeah.
Did you see
the trailer.
The trailer just came out.
Okay.
I'll leave you with that, man. The trailer came out earlier today. Totally suggest anybody that's a big sci-fi fan. It's going to be a two-part series this year. As a matter of fact, the first part's in, I want to say, late May.
Okay, so we got May. So you got
same time as Kenobi.
So you got Better Call Saul coming up. Yep. I got Ozark coming up.
Yep.
And, man, it's what a run there.
It's a big year, and we say these things, and Marvel is dropping, bombs left and right, too. I mean, you've got here soon. It'll be the Multiverse of Madness in the Multiverse for Doctor Strange. So, Neil, it's good to have you back, man. Always good to talk sports. And I look forward to our next podcast. I'm sure it'll be in a couple weeks, and maybe by then we've got some names to say or talk about. But last thing I'll say about it, no need to worry. Plenty of time. Lots of guys in the portal. More guys fixing to enter. And it's going to be fun to see how it all shakes out.
And we'll get some. By the time we start, we'll have 13 dudes.
Yeah.
I promise.
All right. Sounds good, man. Thanks, Neil.
Thanks.